Greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, He indeed is Lord. And over all, hey, grab your Bibles, grab your Word, grab the truth. Grab your owner's manual for your life and pick it up and let's read. Matthew chapter 14. And verse 13. So we're going to begin reading shortly after, in context of that time, the beheading of John the Baptist on the orders of Herod, a man who's most likely burning in hell right now. But anyways, we begin reading from there on, because hey, this life is just a window before we end up going into eternity, where people go to their eternal destiny. Verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." I just want to stop there, because you know, so often when we read this passage, we just go straight into verse 17 and the five loaves and the two fish and the feeding of the 5,000 and all that. But I want to stop right there, and we want to go through this a little bit up until that point. Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." You know, you know, in some of the other translations too, in a little bit more modern English, it would say, "You feed them." And, you know, there's a very important and very subtle point in this that is often missed. You know, the book of Acts was written because the apostles acted, because the early church acted, because the people that knew his voice and were called by his name responded to whatever it was that the Spirit of God was prompting them to do, whatever it was that God himself was instructing them to do. As he instructed them, they acted. And as they acted, they saw the miraculous working power of God. When the children of Israel were left and stuck in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, actually 430 years, but 400 years that they were there, when they finally came out of that bondage, it wasn't until they acted, it wasn't until they responded to the instruction and the word of God, that they actually saw the glory of God, that they actually saw the things, they saw the benefit of obedience, they saw the protection of the hand of God, they saw the provision of God taking care of them in the wilderness, in the desert place. And it was the times where they got stuck in unbelief, it was the times that they did not act or respond according to the word and to the expressed will of God, those are the places that they got themselves in really bad trouble. Those are the places where, you know, I mean, they didn't have to wander around the desert for 40 years before they would have gone into the promised land. They could have gone into the promised land very quickly, but because of unbelief, because they believed the testimony of man over the word of God, they stopped, and they didn't move forward in what it was that God had for them, and so God just passed it on to another generation. And but there's a subtle principle in this, in verse 16, but it's an important principle, because it's a building block for the manifestation of the power and the miraculous of things that God does in your life. What did Jesus say? He said, "You feed them. give ye them to eat. They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. You know, right now, there's a lot of things going on in the world. All over the place, there's things going on. And so often, what happens is people will either they become hopeless and helpless with the things that are taking place around them, or they may go do just what the disciples did in this situation, is they go to Jesus and they're like, all right, Lord God, there's a problem. And what does God respond? He says, look, you do something about it. You feed them. And in another one of the Gospels, it says that God was doing this to test them, to see where they're at. And so often what happens is people, we see things through the natural eyes, and we have a helpless approach to the things going on around us. Listen, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is in you. Luke 17, 20 and 21. So it's not in any building. It's not in any institution. It is within. Your body is the temple of the living God. So the kingdom of God is within you. You are a walking vessel of the presence and the power of God. That power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you, the child of God, the son and the daughter of the living God. And so Jesus, speaking to his disciples, and for us to also have that understanding, because right now, in all that's going on, one of the things that Jesus would say unto us is, you feed them. You go forward in my power. You go forward in my presence. You go forward with that which I've put in you. I've put my Holy Spirit in you. I've put the miraculous hand of God upon your life. You are one with my Spirit. You are one with my Word. You've been consummated with me. You are my ambassador in the earth. You act on my behalf, and I will back you up. You take a step in line with the plan and the purpose of God, and I will back you up. You see, one of the things, the struggles that we have, is we are surrounded by a world of helpless, cut-off people. And when you, and scriptures talk about this, bad company corrupts good character. It also says, walk with the wise and you'll be wise yourself. So basically, the places where you spend your time, the people that you spend your time with, will affect you. They will affect your spirit, they will affect your mind, they will affect your thoughts, they will affect how you relate to life. They will affect what you think is possible. They will affect what, they will affect how you relate to everything. And so accordingly, when you see these things that are taking place, God put something in you. And when you, it's very often when you see a need, part of the reason why you're touched by that need in your heart is because God wants you to do something about it. God wants you to act in that situation. God has a role for you to play in that particular thing. And the reason why we stop at that place in the passage is because it is when you step up to the plate and you say, you know what, Lord, here am I, send me. It's when you are willing to stand in the gap. Now, do you start seeing the consistency throughout scriptures? Do you start seeing the people that showed up along the way, that raised their hands and said, God, if you need somebody, I'm here. It's not that they were something, you know, overly incredible in and of themselves. Scripture says that Elijah was a man just like us, but he prayed. You know, I mean, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those guys, look, they weren't the only ones sent into captivity in Babylon, but they were the four that said, made a decision and said, you know what, even if we are slaves in a foreign land, as much as it's up to us, within the sphere of what we can do anything about, we are going to do what we can to not defile ourselves with that which is going on around us, and we are going to seek to follow God even in our captivity. And God honored that. That is, you feed them. That is them taking a step in line with the will of God. And God gave them favor with the person that had authority over them. And God blessed them in the natural, in their skills, in the realm of the spirit, in their insights, in their wisdom. It says that they had 10 times the understanding of anyone else in the king's court. And God does that. God does that for his people. You take a step in line with the word and the revealed will of God, and God will back you up in the spirit with everything that you need. Now, here's the flip side of it. If you don't take a step, then you never see the miraculous hand of God. If you don't take a step, if you don't step out in trust and in faith, you remain a slave in Egypt. Here's the thing. If the children of Israel never progressed, if they never walked, if they never followed Moses when he was leading them out, they would have stayed in Egypt. They would have stayed in that place of bondage. They would have stayed in what was a type of the world. But because they followed him out and, you know, began with the Red Sea, because, you know, they experienced the Red Sea, God parted the Red Sea, they experienced the pillar of fire by night, they experienced the pillar of cloud by day that gave them the shade, they experienced the water from the rock, they experienced manna from heaven for 40 years. They experienced their clothes not wearing out, their shoes not wearing out. They experienced divine health when it talked about how there was no feeble among them when they came out of Egypt. The times where they got in trouble were when they got wrapped up in unbelief. The times where they got in trouble was when they refused to obey and to act on what it was that God told them to do. Those are the times that people have gotten in trouble. Those are the times that the people of God around the world have gotten in trouble. When God told people, look, I want you to speak the truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him, right? So if you are following Jesus, you're going to be following the way, the truth, and the life. So anything that is not on that way, anything that is not truth, and anything that is not committed to life and abundant life, because you cross-reference that with John 10:10, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So anything that's not that, then where's it coming from? See, too often, in order to make things palatable, people have sugarcoated that which was never meant to be diluted down. You know, it's interesting. Been doing a little bit of research on essential oils and stuff like that, and it's pretty amazing what can happen when you get a properly processed essential oil, like, and when it's not been mixed with anything, when it's not been diluted with anything, when it's actually in its proper form, there's some incredible health benefits that can come from those kind of things. But so often, because that's a lucrative market, there's people out there that they'll mix it with a bunch of other stuff. And so it still smells nice, but it doesn't have the benefits of what something is that is in its pure, uncorrupted form. And there's lots of little things like that in nature where you're just like, oh, wow, I see it. I can understand. There's so few things in this life that people will cease from mixing and corrupting down in order, because they think that they get a benefit from it, but that benefit is short term. The longer benefit is always having that which God intended for his people in straight, you know, straight from the throne room. Don't you want that word from God that's straight from him? Isn't that what you hunger for? You know, I was talking with a friend recently about this, had a buddy in India one time that said, most people want to know the will of God so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. And I've found that to be true, in that most people, they want to know what God is saying, not because they want to do it, but just because they want to think about it. They want to ponder it. They want to roll it over in their mind. They want to create their own judgments on it. They want to evaluate it. They want to bring it before the group and have everybody else tell them what they think about it so that they can either do it or discredit it or find a reason not to. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works in a monarchy. You know, we serve the King of Kings. And the way that it works with the king is he instructs and his subjects do. Here's the thing, though. And when you serve the King of Kings, there's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. There's peace in that. There's joy in that. For you to respond to the instruction of the King of Kings and to live your life out according to the revealed will of the living God, there's peace in that. There's a blessing in that. Listen, for me, when God quickens me with a word like this, there, for me, there's incredible joy that I have and a release in my spirit when I do that and I come forward with something that God gives me. God chooses. He decides what each man will be and who each man will be. You know, you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. You've been crafted in the image and the likeness of God. And if you would follow out His plan and purpose, you will see the manifestation of the Spirit of God in and through you. And as He manifests in and through you, how that then lines up is then you're going to see things that are going on in and around the world that you live in, and God is going to quicken you. And He says, you feed them. You take an action on this. You do something about this. And I put my Spirit in you. My Holy Spirit is in you to be there for this challenge and for this task. When you take a step in this direction and you begin to move, you're going to see my power back you up. And not until then. That's the other side of it too. Not until then. Until you take a step, you're going to be stuck right where you are. You know that the story of the prodigal son, and you know he was in the pig pen. He was kissing the pigs, and you know everything. He'd been wiped out. You know, I mean he had gone his way. He had separated himself from his father, from his family, from all that was, you know, his inheritance. He'd squandered. And was in a bad situation. Because, you know, a lot of people will show up when you got money in your hands. They'll all show up to help you spend it. Yeah, trust me on this one. But when the tough times came, everybody left him. And all of a sudden, you know, what he would spend on a meal is not something that he can even make in a month or a year. And he's stuck in a foreign country, hiring himself out to do something that he would have never dreamed of doing not too long before that. No friends anymore, because all those people, they done left him. All the people that were there to help him spend it, they're gone now. They've moved on to the next one. Oh, incidentally, you worlders, you don't have any real friends. The second that you stop being of value and of benefit to those in your system, just watch and see. They won't be there for you. But, you know, what happened was for the prodigal, when he, it says in Scripture that he came to himself, and it was when he realized, look, you know what? This is dumb. Even the hired men in my father's house have food to spare, and I'm over here languishing, And, you know, he started taking a step. It was when he took a step in the right direction. And scriptures talk about how the father saw him coming from a distance, and he ran to meet him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him, and he loved him, and he you know, wouldn't even let him finish his speech. You know, he said he'd sinned before God and sinned before heaven. He sinned against him, and he wouldn't even let him finish his speech. He told him to get a robe, to put it on his, to put sandals on his feet, and the father took care of. He met him there, but the requirement was that the prodigal take a step in the direction that, you know, was his destiny. You have to take a step in the direction that is your destiny. And the walk of faith is nothing more than just one step of faith after another. One step of trust after another. You take a step in faith, and you'll find out that God is there. Take another step in faith, you'll find out that God is there. You just keep taking one step after another, and you trust God, and you watch, and He will show up, and He will back you up every time. And that's the part that you play. You've got His Holy Spirit in you. You've got His power with you. The power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. His Holy Spirit, that is the God that made it all, is there with you. And you see an issue, you see a problem, you see something, and you bring it to God, and God says, okay, you feed them. You do something about it. You take a step. And as you do that, even in all the limitations that you see, as you do that, you'll see God respond. You know what? And here's the other thing too. Very often, it doesn't matter that you are under-resourced, underfunded, understaffed, all of that. That's not what God looks at. You know, very often the way that God works is He sees just what you have, not what you don't have. You know, in the story of Matthew 14, it's like, look, what do you got? We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Moses in the wilderness, what do you got? I got a stick. Yeah. You know, I got a staff. That's all I got. It's like, all right, throw it down. He throws it down, becomes a snake, runs from it. Runs from the representation of what his abilities were. God tells him, reach your hand out, pick it up, picks it up. From that point forward, it was the staff of God. Check it out in Scripture. From that point forward, whatever it refers to that stick, it was the staff of God, the rod of God. From then on, before that, it was just a stupid stick. After that, it was an incredible tool used by God over and over and over and again. The difference is that it had been put at the feet of God. It had been empowered by His Spirit. So, it doesn't matter what you don't have. The little bit that you have, put that in His service. Put that in the direction that God is showing you. Elijah and the Shunammite woman. You know, what do you got? I got a little bit of oil. Got a little bit of flour. Going to just gather a little bit of wood. We're going to take it. We're going to cook it up. We're going to make a cake. And then my son and I, we're going to eat. And then we're going to go die. But what happened? That was put into the service of the living God. And the oil did not run out. The flour didn't run out. It kept going for all the years of the famine. Incredible. But that principle is there over and over and over again in the Scripture. So, one, you feed them. Two, what have you got? Whatever you have, the little that you have in your own mind, you put that in the service of God. You put that at His feet. You dedicate that into His hand and see what He'll do with it. Your life, your time, your resource, whatever you have, put that before God. God, here's the thing, God doesn't waste. He's not wasteful. He's not going to waste you, okay? Even in the feeding of the 5,000. In verse 20 it says, "And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments, and there and that remained 12 baskets full." That God does not waste. He won't waste you. Whatever you put in His service will be multiplied over and over and over again. There will be an abundance, and He's not going to let any of it go to waste. That's the thing. Sometimes it feels like that, but that's a lie of the enemy. Sometimes it might look like that, but that's not the reality. God has not wasted His people. He's not wasted your life. He's not wasted your existence. You know, I gotta confess. You know, there's times for me where I've gone through that same window where I start getting down, you know, about just things that in the natural maybe might not have gone so great. Or I had a different expectation for something. Or listen, these are common struggles for us. But part of the victory comes when you take your eyes off of yourself and you put them on Christ. When you take your eye off of the result and you look at where the success is, which is in the obedience. You know, I mean, for me, like, you know, God, you gotta forgive me. Forgive me for the places that I have not been on point with this. And, you know, but the thing that I know and I've seen is that He's been faithful to His people. And sometimes you just got to keep going a little bit further. You just got to walk a little bit more. You just got to trust Him. You know, how many people give up just a stone throw away from their deliverance, a stone's throw away from just that which was their destiny, and they stop just before they get to that place, and they give up, they lose heart, they lose faith. And if they would have just persisted, if they would have just gone a little bit further, they would have seen the hand of God. But they give up, they collapse. You know, sometimes too, we forget where God has brought us from. We forget what He's brought us through. You know, that's a human thing. My gosh, how short our memories are. How quickly we forget the time and time and time again that God has done miraculous and done right by His people. I mean, if you read through the scriptures, you've got tons of examples. You read through the Old Covenant, you read through the New Covenant, you see over and over again. You look through your own life, and you will see the times where God has just been faithful, answered your prayers, helped you, brought you through a difficult situation, set your feet on solid ground, given you everything that you need, and you are in a great and incredible spot. And yet, give it a little bit of time, and there's that human nature that creeps up, that starts to grumble, and starts to look at that one thing, or that two things, or those little things that just seem to kind of, you know, the place where expectations haven't been met. Things haven't quite worked out. You know, for the children of Israel in the desert, they wanted meat. They started thinking about their time in Egypt. And some things that they used to eat over there. Whatever it may be. Listen, whatever those things are, first of all, be mindful of your words, because your words have power. Okay? Your words have power. You've been created in the image and the likeness of God. When you speak, there's a creative force behind your words, and there's power to create realities in the words that you speak, in the confessions of your own mouth. So speak in accordance with your belief. And here's the thing, there's a contradiction that happens with a lot of people, because sometimes in these lapses that people go through, they end up saying things that are not in line with what they truly believe. But it's still, you don't want to put things into motion in this life that are not in accordance with that which is your desire and your heart. So speak in line with what you hope for. Speak in line with that which God has revealed to you. Speak in line with the will of God and the plan and the purpose of God. And when you struggle with something, bring it back before God in prayer. You know, sometimes we end up talking to everybody else but God about something. Isn't that incredible? We will talk to everybody else, but we won't talk to Him about it. Or when He gives us an instruction, we don't act on it. So He'll show you. He will say, here's what you need to do. And you don't do it, and then things don't change. But it was right there. And if you just took a step, you feed them. That's the instruction. Take a step. It's like, why do you think that things haven't changed yet? You haven't taken a step yet. You know, sometimes when people talk to me about having trouble hearing the voice of God, you know, one thing I asked them was, well, when was the last time that you heard His voice? When was the last time that something was made clear to you? Go back and find that, because maybe He told you to do something and you just didn't do that. And because you didn't do that, you haven't heard since then, because the instructions haven't changed. He's still waiting for you to do that one thing from before. You know, He'll speak to you. But as He speaks to you, you respond. As you respond, you will see the hand of God working in your life. Too often people, there's too much information and not enough in, there's not enough wisdom, and there's not enough in people lining themselves up in truth and in action with that which God plans and purposes for them. Trust that He knows what He's doing with you. Trust that He has your best interest at heart. Trust that he, the one that made you, loves you. You know, it's funny to me how people have gotten so tied to their own opinion. Listen, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. The words that He spoke were the words that God gave Him to speak. He only did what He saw His Father doing. Likewise, we, if we're following Christ, we only do what we see Jesus doing. We only speak the words that come from Him. That's the place that we want to walk in, that we want to live in. That is a place of freedom. And you know what? Sometimes when we feel certain things that go through our hearts and minds, Our friend Zeph, he had a great word on this. It's called Cures. You should check that out on SoundCloud. Look for the Zeph Report on SoundCloud. Search that. And there's a message in there called Cures. And I think we reposted this one on our Faith Mix Facebook page. But super, super, super message. The first hour and 40 minutes, he goes through this in particular. And then he talks about Laurel Canyon for the last hour. But sometimes what you're picking up, this stuff is not you. It's not what's going on. It's not you. It's stuff that's coming from outside. You're picking up on it. It's focused around you and on you, but this is not you. And to understand that distinction, that sometimes at the attacks that come against you, this is not actually what's going on that's you. This is actually stuff that's being blasted against you, to try to make you quit, to try to collapse you, to try to get you to see things from a human and a natural and an external and a limited viewpoint. Whereas the kingdom is within. The power is there. The power that created the universe is in you. What problem in this life is too big to be able to be solved by that? I mean, you have it. These things are small, but God allows you to experience them because He also wants to bring you and I to that refining place to make us what He wants us to be. He's got something else going on with us that's past our natural circumstance, that's past our natural situation, that's past things being perfect for us in this life. You know, I look back at my own life and the things that have resulted in my probably the greatest points of personal growth for me have also been linked to some of the deepest pain that I've felt, some of the deepest struggles that I've gone through, some of the darkest disappointments that I've had. Those have also been the things that have probably been much more in revealing character, much more of chipping away at the things that were me and revealing Christ. Those have been the breaking that I've gone through has also resulted in a lot of, you know, the overflow of the Spirit of God through me, because the kingdom is within me. The kingdom of the living God is in me. It's not in any building. I have yet to go to a building and that place, the Spirit of the living God does not live in a building. It lives in me. The kingdom is within you. Now, if you get several of us together that worship Him in spirit and in truth, and we happen to go into a house together, hey, you'll feel a very strong presence of the living God there, because He's within us, and we just happen to be in a place. But no building has a lock on the presence of God. No place has that, because when the veil of the temple was rent in two, you know, there was nothing separating us from God. The way was made through Christ Jesus. Connection was made to the very throne of God. And you and I, as sons and daughters of the living God, we boldly come before the throne of grace. And even as we do, even as the disciples did in Matthew chapter 14, and we bring our petitions before Him, we bring our concerns, we bring these things before Him, and God looks, and our King looks, and He says, all right, I understand, I see, I know. They need not depart, give ye them to eat. They don't have to go anywhere, you feed them. He instructs you from the throne. He's given His authority to His body in the earth that walks in step with Him. And He instructs you as His ambassador in the earth. All right, you act. You do this. My kingdom is in you. You are one with me. As you act, you are my hands and you are my feet in the earth. You take a step and you do what I put on your heart to do, and my power will be there to back you up. The hosts of angels, the legions of angels will be there with you to respond to that situation. No gate of hell will be able to stand the advance of the kingdom of God that flows in and through you. And you will see the glory of God. He wants you to trust Him. And He wants you to go forward in that. And as you go forward in that, see what He does. So that, my brothers and sisters, is the word for the day. You feed them. You act. You respond. Take a step in faith and trust God. And as His son, as His daughter, as you take that step in faith, know that God will back you up. And His power is right there. The miraculous working hand of the living God is right there. The Holy Spirit is right there. The angels of God are right there. Nothing that the enemy's got can withstand the advance of the child of light. One plus God is always the majority. You always win. We win in Jesus' name. So walk it out. All right. Hey, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Reach us to our Facebook page. Lots of things. And thank you guys for those of you that have been writing in. Very much appreciate hearing from you from all over the world. You guys are awesome. And also, we've gotten some really good feedback regarding the website of things that we can look to try to, you know, make better as time goes on. And, you know, we're just kind of gathering all of that together right now so that we can see how we can do this. Because, yeah, you know, there's a lot to do. And, you know, small team, but we do what we can. But so keep us in prayer. And, you know, yeah, you know, however you guys want to get involved, if there's some way, let us know. You know, chip in, that's fine. It's appreciated. But, you know, we do this as a service unto God. So, you know, but that's just how it is. Hey, all right. But we love you guys. Drop us a mail, say hi, and we will talk to you soon. All right.